Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. My name is Jim Graham. I'm pastor at Cassata Baptist Church. It was about a decade ago that a couple of guys came and sat down in my office and said, we want to talk to you. We're really interested in planting another church in the area and wondered if you guys would be involved in that. It wasn't long after that till Mike Mazingo, you probably wouldn't recognize him. He had dark hair. And he came and preached at our church, and it was a recruiting sermon. You know, we were asking our people who wants to be a missionary and go help start a new church in the area, and we just kind of grew from there. And over the next few years, I think your first soundboard was one we gave to the church, and the first little trailer to haul stuff in was our trailer that y'all used. We just put a big magnet on the side that said covered up Cassata Baptist Church and said Journey Church on it, and we donated money and time and resources, and stand here this many years later and be in front of you is pretty awesome. Mike and I have been good friends over the years through that. Wasn't too long ago that he came and got me and says, come here, let's go take a ride. And he brought me over to this property and told me what they, you know, about the money situation and all the things. And he said, what do you think? And I said, buy it as soon as you can, you know. So it's exciting to stand here in front of you and be with you. And, you know, it's fun to have people like Mike and I who are like-minded and trying to do the same thing, you know, build God's kingdom and bring glory and honor to Him. So it's great to be here. He invited me to come preach. We were together one day, and he says, why don't you just, you know, abandon your people one Sunday and come over here and preach for me one Sunday morning. And so he told me, we were talking about red letters, things Jesus said. He told me where he was at last week, and I looked at the next couple of stories in John, and one just jumped out at me. And it's a story of Jesus being a little confrontational. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean really whenever you encounter Jesus, he is a little confrontational. You know, it's just not a normal conversation. He wants to kind of dig into who you are because he has some answers for your life. He has some answers for your problems and situations, and plus, he loves to challenge us to move on to newer things and to do greater things. He has great things in store for us. And what I want you to really see is not just what he was offering, but really how this woman in the story responded to him. Because what I see in her response is the way that you and I respond a lot of times to the confrontation of Jesus in our lives. So the story is set up in John chapter 4, where Jesus, it says, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. And in verse 4 it says, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? Now that seems pretty benign. That seems like an easy starting point, doesn't it? Just, will you give me a drink? But this conversation goes from here and digs deep into who she is and what Jesus wants to do in her life. And I want you to notice her responses, how she really, really tries not to go there with Jesus. And her first response is a tactic we use many times, and that response is, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. She says in verse 9, she says to him, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. She's basically saying, like, look, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Our people don't get along. You're a man, I'm a woman. You know, there's just some issues here. Why are you talking to me? Like, really, what it is I'm not on your level. I'm not worthy of where you're at. And we tend to come to that point a lot of times. Like, when Jesus comes to us, like, why would he bother with me? Because I want to tell you something. There's one person that knows you better than anybody else, and that's you. You know you. The person sitting beside you, they think they know you, but you really know you. And you know what you're capable of in the worst ways. You know the thoughts that come into your mind sometimes that even scare you. You know the things that you think about, the things that you've done. You know the things that you're ashamed of. You know all these things. And so for Jesus Christ to come to you, for Him to encounter you, for Him to appeal to you, to speak to you, to call you, to challenge you, in whatever respect He comes to you, there's a response in our hearts so many times that says, like, why are you bothering with me? I mean, like, Lord, if there is somebody who knows me better than I know me, it's you. And you know me, and you know there's no way that you should be talking to me. You want me to serve you? You want me to teach? You want me to talk to somebody? You want me to lead? You want to save me? You want to rescue me? You want to help me? Like, no, God, like, I'm not worthy. I know you mean somebody else. I know you mean you must have the wrong person. And as you read through Scripture, you'll see person after person who goes, you know, God, I know you're not talking about me. I know there's somebody else who can do a better job. I know there's somebody else who can do that. I know your church is probably just like my church. You know, you probably hate it when Brother Mike, when you see his number on your thing, you're thinking, oh no, what does he want? Like, what is he calling to ask me to do? What's going to happen? I called the guy last week and said, hey, man, let's go to lunch. And I found out later, his wife came up to me and said, I want you to know we couldn't meet for a couple of days because he was busy. And she said he was scared to death for 2 days. Thought number one, what has he found out that I did, right? Thought number two, what does he want me to do, right? I mean, it's one of those two things that can't be bad. Well, what I really wanted was to buy him a hamburger. That's all it was. And we just hung out. And so when he finished, he was like, well, you know, thank goodness. But I know that that's the case because, you know, you're always wondering. And if the Lord is coming to talk to you, if the Lord is pricking your heart and your conscience, you're usually thinking, oh, no. Oh, no. It's one of those two things. Either I've done something wrong, and so he's going to confront me about my sin. He's fixing to get on to me. You know, or number two, he wants me to do something. He's got a job for me. And our reaction oftentimes is, Lord, like, I can't, you know you're talking to the wrong person. And, you know, I mean, we could go into it. I really don't think God's response to that is, no, you're wonderful. I don't think that's God's response. I think God's response is, of course you're not worthy. Of course you're not. But I am, and I'm talking to you, and I do know who I'm talking to. I'm not mistaken. It's not a mistake. I know who I'm talking to. Let's look at the second response that she made to him. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And she says in verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She's basically saying, like, he says, like, if you knew who was talking to you, you would have asked me for a drink. And she's like, I'm looking at you. You don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. You don't have any resources. You can't help me. I don't think you can help me. And so many times, even though we can quote Scripture that says nothing is impossible with God, we tend to think, I know He does miracles. I know He'll help people, but I'm not sure He can help me. Like, this situation is too far gone. Maybe it's I'm too far gone. Maybe this problem is just too big. It's just too messy. It's just too much. And I just really don't think you can help me. I don't really think that you can do for me what I need doing. I don't know that you're going to solve my dilemma or help me with my issue. I don't know that you can help me. I know you can help some people. I know you can do some things, but you just don't know my situation. I want to tell you something that always happens, and I'm sure Brother Mike feels the same way. It's like we can get up here and we can preach and we can talk about something, and then somebody in the group will come, like, but my situation is different. My situation is more difficult. My situation is more terrible. My situation is just rougher, tougher. It's more of a problem. And we tend to look at God and say, like, but you, I just don't think you can help me. I just don't think you can Do that with me. Or maybe it's God's calling you. God's calling you out of your comfort zone, where you are, and said, I've got a job for you. I mean, I have a mission for you. And we're like, God, you can't do that with me. You can do some amazing things, but not with this. Like, you'll never get there with this. I don't think you can help me. I'm reminded of a lady who used to live right across the street from a church I served in. And I would see her often walking. She didn't drive, and she drank all the time. And so she would walk from her house down to the little store and back to her house. And I talked to her, and I remember one time she finally opened up. We got into a conversation, and I shared Christ with her. And her response to me was, "It's too late for me." And of course, you know what I was saying. It's not too late. You're here. You're here. You're not gone. It's not too late. There's time. And she's like, "No, it's too late for me. I'm too far gone. It's too far past me. He can't help me." But we deal with a Christ who can do anything for anybody. He knows who He's talking to. When Jesus Christ is talking to you, and you feel Him and sense Him in your heart and in your mind and your conscience, and He's talking to you, He knows everything about you. He knows who He's talking to, and He knows what He's capable of. It's kind of like the little boy who was in a grocery store, and he was walking around and he was carrying all this stuff. Him and his dad were shopping, you know. And so he's using, you know, it's better to occupy them. You know, I've got four kids, and I remember when they were little, we'd carry them to the grocery store and be like, "You get this and you get that." And we'd occupy them. And this little boy, he had all this stuff. And this lady, she took offense because, you know, people like to get in each other's business, right? And she took offense to how much stuff this little kid was carrying. He had some, you know, stuff. And she's like, "Son, don't you think you're carrying a little bit too much? Don't you think you should put some of that in the buggy?" And he said, "Don't worry, lady. My daddy knows exactly how much I can carry." Yeah. That's the way our God is. He knows who you are. He knows how much you can carry. He knows what you're capable of. He knows you. He knows you. Maybe too well, even. Let's look at the next thing he goes with. She says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Now, Jesus is going deep. Like, He's talking spiritual stuff. Living water, never thirst again. But she's not quite on that level. She's just thinking, He's talking about solving my water problem. And she says, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Like, He's talking about some spiritual thing. And she's hearing, lifetime supply of Dasani, right? He's going to solve my water problem. Like, He's talking some kind of weird thing like indoor plumbing or something. Like, there's something going on here, and He's going to solve my water dilemma. Like, He's about to solve my earthly physical dilemma. And that sounds great to me. So, God, if You can fix my water problem, I'll take it. I want that. Now, the Lord doesn't just want to solve her water problem. He wants to solve some spiritual things. He wants to get into the meat of things. He wants to get down into her heart and soul. But so many times what you and I do is we come to God. Oh, we come and we pray and we talk to Him. And what we say is, "I want what You can give me. I definitely want what You can give me. I want the solution to the problem. Will You fix this for me? Like, I got a job situation. Will You fix this for me? I got a health situation. Would You fix this for me? Like, I've got this relationship issue. Will you straighten this up for me? Like, can You come in here and fix this and help me out? I've got a money situation. Will You fix that for me? Will You help me out?" It's kind of like there was a lady in our community, and she came to me and she asked for some financial help. You know, can you help? I'm going to lose my vehicle. I've got to make this car payment, you know. And so we helped her out. And I talked to her a little bit, you know, and helped her that one time. Well, a few weeks later, it wasn't long, a couple of months, she came back. You know, you helped me that one time, will you help me again? Like, I need help with this other payment thing. And so I went and sat down and I talked to her. I said, let's talk. And I learned about her situation. I learned how she'd lost her previous job and now she's working a new job, but she's not making as much money. That's why she's in a tight. And so I said, well, I wanted to talk about, why'd you lose that job? What happened? Like, and as I began to talk to her, I said, you know, I could really help you. Like, I could really help you. Like, I think I could help you learn to interact with people and deal with people in a way where you'll not only not lose the next job, maybe you'll flourish. Maybe you'll get raises. I think I can help you. I think I can help you manage your money a little better and help things. Like, let's have a relationship. Let me be your friend. Like, let me be your friend. Let's be friends. Come go to church with me. I can help you with rides. My wife drives by here every day. Like, we can, like, let's be friends. And her response was, I don't want to be your friend. I just need $200. You know, well, now, it's not the first time I've been rejected. You know, it's okay. I get it. You know, you don't want to be my friend. But so many times, that's the way we are with Christ. I mean, Christ's response to us is, I've got so much more to offer you. I want to have a relationship with you. Like, I want to walk with you every day. We're like, dude, I don't want to walk with you. And that sounds great, but I just need $200. Like, maybe you're not hearing me. What I'm praying about right now is, I just need you to step in and fix this situation. But Jesus' response is like, no. What I got is deeper than that. And I want to walk with you and go with you and be with you and influence you. And you know what this means. It means some things are going to change. There's going to be some transformation. It means you're not going to be comfortable. It means, you know, everything. You know, like I always say, we love change if I'm the one changing it, but I don't like when somebody else changes it, right? You know, I'm like, but things are going to change. Things are going to be different and all this stuff. I'm like, well, like, could you back off a little bit and let's just get this. It's like we don't really want Jesus. We just want what He can do for us. And that's not what salvation is. That's not what Christianity is. It's like some people think Christianity is, I tried to solve my problems myself. Now I've got God to help me solve my problems, but it's still about me solving my problems. That's not what Christianity is. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And He's saying to her, and what He says to you is, I want to go deeper. In fact, He goes really deep. He starts going really deep. Because in the next sentence, He said, go call your husband and come back. Go get your husband and come back. And let's talk some more. And she answers and says, I have no husband. And then Jesus gets a little bit, you know, a little bit snarky, you know, a little bit kind of. He says, you're right. You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the guy you're with right now, he's not your husband. So, He literally says to her, what you have just said is quite true. You nailed that answer. You got that one right. You don't have a husband. You're on 5.3, you know, whatever that is. And but let's talk about the husband thing. Let's talk about that. Like, let's get into all that. Let's get into what's really going on, because there's something going on there. Like, you just don't have, you're just not on husband number 6 unless there's some issues. What's underlying all this? Like, what's broken? What's messed up? What's happened? You know, are you the common denominator? Is there something broken? Is there something you're looking for? Like, let's dig into this. Let's get personal. Like, let's get really, really personal. And she responds, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. They say, what? Like, what is she doing? What What does that have to do with anything? Oh, this has to do with everything. This is what this is. Let's debate. Let's debate. Let's discuss some theological difference. Okay? Let's talk about God. Let's talk about how we worship and how you worship. Let's talk about this church versus that church. Let's talk about this doctrine versus that doctrine. Let's talk about, you know, I don't understand everything. Let's talk about that. Like, I love, people come to you, start talking about Jesus, and they say, well, we'll talk about Jesus in a second. Can you explain to me where Cain's wife came from in Genesis? Can you explain to me why the Baptists do this and the Methodists do this and the Church of Christ do this and the Episcopalians do that? Can you explain to me why this is? Because, see, once I wrap my mind around all that, we're the cynic, we're the skeptic. I've just got to figure all this out. When I figure out all that kind of stuff, like, let's talk about something. Let's talk about Alabama and Auburn. Let's talk about Trump versus non-Trump. Let's talk about something else, anything else. I want to talk about something, but let's not talk about me. Let's not talk about me. I'll come sit in a pew and you can talk about Jesus, but I don't want to go to a small group and do one of the life groups where they might talk about me or ask me a question or get involved in my story. Oh, you got this little story thing written down, you know, y'all want to tell your story and write all that thing? Listen, Preacher Mike, if I wrote my story down and y'all got it in the office, y'all be going like, whoa, this one's special. Let's not go there. But I can just say, praise the Lord, and let's pray, and that's awesome, and God is good. But let's just not get personal. But I need you to know something. Jesus wants to get personal. Really, really personal. He wants to solve the real issue. Not the Band-Aid thing. Not just to cover the thing up. Not just the kind of the... Not that thing. He wants to get down to the heart of the matter. To the real thing. To the root of the problem. He wants to dig in there where it hurts a little bit. He wants to get down to your real insecurities, your real fears. What your real motivation is, what your actual agenda is. And he starts messing around in things that you don't want to deal with and you don't want to dig in and you don't want to deal with. But that's who Jesus Christ is. Now, he's not doing it because he's mean. He's not doing it because he wants to cause you discomfort and he wants to make a problem for you. That's not why he's doing it. He's doing it because he can fix it. He's doing it because he loves you. And he knows, if we get down to the root of the thing, we can really make a difference. We can really make a change. Something dramatic can happen in your life. And not just putting a Band-Aid over something that makes you feel a little better. And we're really caught in a bad situation in our culture. We like to feel better, and I get that. And sometimes, we even take things like church and we use church and we use these things to make ourselves feel better. I feel better because I went to church today. I feel better because I cried a little bit. I feel better because I was moved a little bit. So I feel like I encountered God. But I'm going to tell you straight up, when he starts getting personal, we start running. And she started running. Let's debate. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about something else. Let's switch subjects. Let's change the subject. Let's talk about something else. Let's not talk about me. But there's some of us in this room that you know that the Lord is talking to you right now. And you're going, not that God. And he's going, yep, that. Yep. That guy standing up there today, you don't even know him, and he's preaching, and the reason he's here today is so that you and I can deal with this thing that you don't want to deal with. But let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get it. So she throws her last tactic at him. And her last tactic is, he starts saying this stuff. And like when he starts talking about this, you know, it's like her eyes glaze over. Listen to this. Woman, believe me, because now she just made this argument. Let's argue about where we're supposed to worship and how we're supposed to worship. He says, woman, believe me, a time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. And she goes, whew. That's a lot. And she answers this way. I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. Here's what she's saying. Whatever all that was, whatever all this thing is, the personal stuff and all the stuff you want to get into about my husband and this worshiping and all this kind of stuff, let's talk about that later. One day the Messiah's coming. He'll sit down. He'll explain it to us. Let's talk about that then. Let's delay. Let's put this off. Let's deal with this another time. Because there's always a better time to do the thing you don't want to do. Now, I don't know how you guys are. Nothing happens in my life unless it's written down on my list. Now, I don't know how many of you are list people. Anybody list people? I bless you. I'm a list person, too. Like, I have to write it all down. My wife, the other day, she gave me a check, and she said, when you get to work, hand this to Laurie. And I said, okay. And she goes, and I took it, and I put it in my pocket. And she looked at me, and she goes, aren't you going to write that down? I mean, she knows me, right? But I was about to walk out the door, and I said, I got this. I got it. It's fine. I don't have to write it down. So I go to work that morning. Later on that morning, we're in staff meeting. She knew I'd be in staff meeting. I got a text. I looked at my text, and it said, give the check to Laurie. Pulled it out of my pocket. I said, Laurie, here's the check. She knew. She knew. She knew I didn't write it down. But I'm going to tell you, if I write it down, you know, I'll get it done. But I have this bad habit. Anybody else on here with a list like this? I put everything on my list, but there's some things on my list that I don't really want to do. Y'all have things on your list that you don't want to do? I don't want to do them. So, I move them to tomorrow. Anybody in here who are list makers, a move to tomorrow list? Y'all have a move to tomorrow, you know? I'll do that tomorrow. Now, there's some things on my list that they have gone on quite a journey. You know what I'm talking about? Tomorrow, the next day, keep moving it. And you just hope and pray it'll just go away. And sometimes we treat Christ like that. I'll just put it off. When I get through this season of life I'm in right now, when we just get through this, you know, we're in that fun season where one of our children is getting married in about 3 months. And there's a whole lot of stuff happening. And, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, I can't wait. I've told my wife several times, I can't wait till July. She's like, why? Because all that will be done, right? I can't wait till July when all this is done. There's several other things happening, and in July it'll all be over. But you know what's going to happen, right? When we get to July, will my list be empty? No. But we just go, when I get to that next season, when I finish school, when the house gets built, when I get through with this project at work, when the kids get older, when we get them in school, when we get them out of school, when we get the house paid for, when we get through, you know, mama being sick, when we get past this issue and that issue, and we just push off and push off and push off, and there's so many of us that we have the opportunity, and God speaks to us, and He says, you know, do this. Do this. And we go, we feel good. Because we say, okay, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. When the Messiah comes, we'll talk about it then. You want me to go get my husband? You want me to go deal with this issue? You want me to talk about personal things and deal with my sin or deal with this challenge? You want me to do stuff? We'll do it. We'll just do it later. Let's just do it later. Later's better to do things that, you know, are hard to do. And then he messes that up too. He says, oh, you're waiting for the Messiah? I'm him. That was his next response. He says in verse 26, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And this is what he's saying. We're not waiting. You see, the time to deal with what Jesus is speaking to you about is when he's speaking to you. It's when he's speaking to you. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't know you. There's a handful of people in this room that I know. I've got some good friends that go to church here. But most of you in this room, I don't know you. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your situation is. Maybe you've never made the decision to follow Christ. Like these people who got baptized this morning and made that decision. Maybe you haven't made that decision. And maybe your mindset is, well, I got to get this stuff straightened out first. Or I want to deal with this later. But if Jesus is speaking to you today, if he's speaking to you today, then today is the time. Now is the time. I'm going to ask Devin to come out and begin to play for us this morning. Because I just want to challenge you. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day. Maybe it's something personal. Maybe it's an issue. Maybe it's a situation. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe it's something negative in your life and you just don't want to deal with it. You want to put it off. You'd rather deal with anything else. But all through this sermon this morning, the Lord's been speaking to you and going like, no, this is the thing you need to deal with. Like, this is the issue. This is the situation. Let's do it. Would you be open to change? Would you be open to letting me transform your life? Would you trust me? Let's deal with it. Maybe it's a mission. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe the whole thing is about something new and maybe even risky, a little scary. Maybe it's about you sharing Christ with someone. Maybe it's about you stepping up in some relationship. Maybe it's about being a better spouse or better parent or maybe it's about teaching or leading or stepping out in some way. Like God's got a mission for you, has a purpose for you. And it's a greater purpose than you thought possible. And it's a little scary, but that's what he's telling you. So the issue is this. If Jesus is speaking to you, you can say all the things you want. You can say, Lord, you know, let's talk about something else. It's like, no, I'm here today. Lord, let's do this later. No, I'm here today. I'm he. I'm the one. Let's do it today. And I want to offer you the opportunity today. Today. To respond to Jesus. This woman did. She said, okay, okay. And through her, this broken woman with all kind of issues, she ends up going back to her village and her town and saying, listen, you got to meet this guy. I know I'm messed up. But this guy knows I'm messed up and he wants to deal with me anyway. Y'all got to meet him. And her whole village began to meet Jesus because of her. The one broken person. Maybe that's who you are. If you just let him. So I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning and close your eyes and maybe just have a conversation with God yourself. I know you're probably sitting beside somebody. Maybe there's somebody you came to church with this morning, family or friend. But I want you to just deal with the Lord yourself, with who you are and what God may be saying to you today. And there's going to be an opportunity for you right at the end of this service. We have a little room in the back, a little VIP room, where you can go and talk with one of the staff people. And there are people back there ready to pray with you about your situation. Maybe to help you with the challenge of what God's calling you to do. or most importantly, maybe to pray with you about giving your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, following Him. You have that opportunity today. All I'm saying is I know I've been talking to you, but my experience is that when I'm talking, I think that Jesus is talking to some of you in your heart and in your conscience, in your mind right now. And there's a tendency for every one of you in this room to respond to that voice just like this lady did. Lord, if I can just make it through this invitation, this little time right here, I'm getting out of here. Not today. Lord, I'll deal with you about some things. I'll be at church, but I don't want to deal with that. Not that. I don't want to open up that. But He wants to deal with it today. Will you trust Him? Will you follow Him today? Is there somebody here this morning that just wants to lift their hand and say, I just want to deal with something today. I'm ready now. I'm ready now to deal with something today. I just want you to raise your hand and say, pray for me, Brother Jim. Pray for me. I see you. Pray for me. Yes. Because I want to respond to Him today. I'm ready to listen today. I'll pray for you right now, but after we're finished, if you want to go to the back, you can talk to them in the back room today, and they'll be glad to pray with you some more. Let me pray with you. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that in spite of who we are, that you love us, you care about us, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you have so much more that you want to do in our lives and through our lives. And I pray that we're willing to listen to and respond to the prodding in our hearts today. And in the future, as days go by, that we'll respond to you. We will trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for giving me the chance to come and speak to you. I love speaking here. This is awesome. There's really only one big difference between Journey Church and Cassata Baptist Church. And the difference is that at Journey, I get to leave my shirt untucked. So I just really want to thank you. I just really want to thank you for that. It's awesome. And appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Thank you, Matt.